Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score, and we are back for our second show this week. We're continuing to get you ready for what's to come in the offseason. And last week we had Brad Spielberger at PFF on. We went over the top free agents. And then on Tuesday, we had Jordan McNamara helping us run through some of the players that we thought you should be trying to acquire in Dynasty Leagues right now. And today, we're going to keep it going. A longtime friend of the show joining us, Danny Kelly from The Ringer. We're going to talk about the top prospects that you're going to be hearing a ton about over the next couple of months. And I'm sure you're already following him on Twitter or X at Danny B. Kelly. You should also be checking out that draft guide over at The Ringer, which is already available. And he'll continue to add to that as the offseason goes along. Does a heck of a job with that, too. Not just the analysis and the breakdowns. I've mentioned this before on our show, though. His player comps are the best in the business, and most of them are actual players that he's comparing them to, but he does have a little fun with some of them. Like this year, I saw Malik Nabers having shades of Ricky Bobby because he just wants to go fast. I love it. I love having him on every year. So Danny, welcome back to the show, dude. And this time you were coming on to the show as the champion in our international dynasty league. I think the first American champ in the in the 3 years that we've done that league. So congrats, man, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, I pulled it off. That was kind of a, I think it was a Cinderella story, really. I don't think my team is honestly the best in that league, but got hot at the right time, as they say.
I remember in the draft when all like the young stars were kind of falling to you in the draft a few years ago, and I kept going like, oh no, like it might not be this year, but in the next couple of years, his team is going to be really strong. And then I think you hit on a couple, like you had Devon Achane. I think you got him in the second round this year. And yeah, it was a fantastic run and all of a sudden a turnaround to now being one of the top teams there.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm glad representing for the U.S. I love that league. That league, by the way, the setup is amazing. For those who don't know, it's six international players versus six American players, I believe, right? And there's two different like divisions or conferences. So it's super fun. I love the setup and appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, and it's cool just, you know, having teams and analysts from all around the world playing in that one. And yeah, it's been really fun. The thread's been really fun. Everybody joking around. The only weird part about it is the time zones. Like you'll wake up and there'll just be like 20 messages in there from everybody in, you know, Europe and everywhere else.
There's people that are in Europe, right? There's a French team, at least one French team. There's a British team. There's also Brazilians, Canadians, I forget. Am I missing any of
Mexico,
the other
Mexico, yeah. Mexico, yes. I'm going to forget some here, too. We had Australia, but he had to leave the league, and we replaced him with John Daigle. It was John Daigle that came in and took over. But yeah, he was talking to me first year in the league that he took over this year, and he was talking to me, sending me messages going like, yeah, I'm going to take down the league in the first year. This is amazing. And then I think he got beat out in the semifinals. But yeah, definitely an awesome guy to have joining the league. And yeah, it's a super fun one that we've spent way too much time talking about here. So we will move on. And we do a bunch of shows looking at prospects closer to the draft. I think we've had you on for some of those in you know, late March and early April before. And the focus is always going to be the skill positions because that's the important thing for fantasy. But I like to do an episode this time of year just to give people an overview of the top names that they should be aware of. So we're going to get into some specific guys, but let's just start with your overall assessment of the 2024 draft class. And a lot of people had high hopes for this one. So is it as strong of a year as people were hoping for?
I mean, I think so. I think it's definitely, you know, there's some superstar blue chip type players at the top. And I'm sure we'll get into those guys, but like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, there's some really, really exciting, you know, skill player type guys. And then, of course, there's three quarterbacks, at least four or five quarterbacks potentially that are going to be starters this next year. So, you know, in super flex leagues, I think that's super exciting. I think you add in the fact that there's a whole bunch of really good offensive linemen in this league or in this draft, and we could see the offense kind of rebound next season in the NFL at large. Because I know the offense was down. Quarterbacks were not nearly as efficient as they have been in previous seasons. So it felt like that kind of obviously transferred over to fantasy a lot. So I think this could be the type of class that really elevates offense in the NFL. Maybe not next year, but the year after and beyond, just because you're getting good receivers, good tackles, and good quarterbacks potentially in the league, kind of in a good infusion of offense. So yeah, it's a very good class. I think, you know, obviously there's not very many good running backs, I think, and the tight end class is pretty shallow after Brock Bowers. but receivers, quarterbacks, obviously those are going to help a lot in fantasy.
All right, well, let's weave our way through these positions here. And we got to begin with Caleb Williams because he's been the prize of this class for a while. And I don't think I ever heard a catchphrase for him. Like, I don't recall like a tank for Tua type thing. Was it like collapse for Caleb maybe?
Yeah, that works.
I don't know if that got popularized, but he's the top dog in this year's draft and almost guaranteed to go number one overall, whether it's to the Bears, maybe they'll trade it away. Seems like it's going to be the Bears though.
Yeah.
So give us your assessment of Williams. Is he going to be that next superstar quarterback in real life? And I guess more importantly, is he going to be that next superstar quarterback in fantasy?
Yeah. I mean, I think he has the traits and the talent to be a superstar quarterback. Obviously, you know, a lot goes into being a high level quarterback in the NFL, surrounding cast, the supporting cast, I should say. You know, and obviously the stuff that happens inside each quarterback's head, which we can't really, you know, assess from this vantage point. But I will say, like, skills and traits wise, he's incredible. He has an incredible arm. He can make throws from different angles with incredible velocity, fit the ball into tight pockets. He's very good passing down the field. And he's a really good scrambler too. Like, he's really strong and explosive in the short area. So like, he could make guys miss. He can get out of jams. That's like a big reason why he's such a Houdini in the pocket, in terms of like getting out and making plays out of structure, getting outside the pocket, making plays, making throws, rushing. I think he has, you know, all the traits that you look for in a fantasy quarterback, in terms of, you know, he's not going to be like a 1,000-yard rusher or anything like that, but he can use his legs to make plays happen. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited about him from a fantasy point of view. Obviously, you know, there's a ton that goes into, like I said, making a quarterback at the next level. And hopefully, if the Bears take him, they continue to invest at the receiver position, offensive line, get guys around him that can make his life easier. And obviously, we saw the Bears sort of make a jump with DJ Moore this last year. And so hopefully they'll continue to do that, continue to add guys, and you know, he'll hit the ground running. But yeah, I think he has all the traits and talent in the world to be a superstar in fantasy. But obviously no one's luck. No one's like a sure thing in the NFL.
And if it is the Bears, like you said, this would be the right year to invest in offensive line and receiver in the draft. They also have some cap room, so they could very quickly improve things around him on top of some of the guys they already have, like DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after Williams, it's Jaden Daniels, and we're talking about, you know, you said that Caleb Williams isn't a 1,000-yard rusher. Jaden Daniels definitely could be.
Right.
And then Drake May. Those two are going to be battling it out to be the second quarterback off the board, and it doesn't seem like there's a consensus out there on which guy is better than the other, and it might come down to, like, better real-life prospect versus fantasy, and it's hard to overlook Daniels for fantasy because of that rushing ability, but that's why we got you here to break it down. So who is your QB2? And I mean, if you want to say, you know, if you want to distinguish between real life and fantasy with it, but who's your QB2 in this class?
Right now, my QB2 is Drake May. And in real life, I think there's a really strong argument for Jaden Daniels in fantasy, though, if you want him to be the QB2, just because, like you said, he's a really good runner. He's incredibly slippery as a runner. Jaden Daniels is, like, he finds these gaps in the defense when he's out in the open field, you know, scoots through him. Scoots is like kind of the best way I can describe the way he runs. He just scoots around, very elusive. And he popped off, like, you know, 50, 60, 70 yard runs in college. And so he's obviously got the top end speed to run away from defenses too. I don't think he's like on Lamar Jackson's level necessarily, but he's a tier below that, certainly, in terms of his ability to run after run outside the pocket and scramble and make things happen with his legs. He's really, really impressive in that area. And obviously, if you look at his stats this year, like, absolutely ludicrous, just passing and running all over the field. But at the same time, I mean, you look at Drake May, and he's like built to be a high level quarterback in the NFL. Like, he reminded me of Justin Herbert, just stylistically, his frame, strong arm, you know, the way that he can attack the field. He's actually a pretty good athlete in his own right, in terms of his ability to scramble and make plays out of the pocket. So I would probably, right now, if I had to make a list, I'd probably put Drake May slightly above Jaden Daniels in fantasy, just because I trust his longevity more right now. The big worry for me is, like, Jaden Daniels is really sort of skinny. And I was actually just tweeting about this today. I saw Nate Tice comped him to Johnny Knoxville. He's got a little Johnny Knoxville in his game, because he takes just the most massive hits in these games. And so that's a little bit worrisome from just a longevity and injury point of view. But at the end of the day, I think it's just good that we have three high, like potentially high level quarterbacks coming into this draft, like guys that are probably going to start early in their careers. And I think Daniels in particular is going to have a high floor because he's going to be running around a lot. Kind of like the Justin Fields thing. Like maybe it'll take him a year or two to develop as a high level passer, but he has the floor just because he can run around so much.
And we'll go deeper on the quarterback class in those episodes closer to the draft. I would just caution people out there. I know we're going to hear all about, especially with the 49ers being in the Super Bowl, who's going to be the next Brock Purdy? Who's going to be that late round guy that can emerge? I just want to throw up the caution flag there and say, you know, outside of the first round, it's tough to hit on a quarterback in the NFL draft. And I know everybody wants to cherry pick and say, you know, the Tom Brady's and the Purdy's of the world, but be careful falling in love with a quarterback who goes on day two or day three, because it's difficult to actually see them become, you know, long-term fantasy starters, let alone, you know, real life starters. So with that, let's move on to running backs. And we were talking a bit about this before the show. It's not the best group this year. We had a couple guys return to college for one more season, and that hurts this running back class quite a bit.
Yeah.
We have my favorite running back in this class, who's Jonathan Brooks from Texas. The only problem there is he tore his ACL in November, so that's going to complicate his outlook for 2024, hopefully not beyond that, but we'll see how quick he can get recovered. I still have him as my top back. It's just going to be one that we're going to have to monitor here how the rehab's going, but there are some other intriguing names, Danny, like Trey Benson and Blake Corum and Braylon Allen, Bucky Irvin, Marshawn Lloyd. You know, it just is going to come down to where they land in the draft, both draft capital and where they end up. Because if one of those guys goes to, let's say, the Chargers, where we think Austin Eckler's probably gone, that starting job could be wide open, then all of a sudden, that player, we could see their stock just skyrocket for fantasy. But enough from me, we want to hear from you. So is there a back that stands out to you in this class, whether it is Brooks, like I mentioned, or any of those names that I threw out there, or maybe somebody else, if there's someone else that you have in your mind?
Yeah, I think for me, the right now, and of course, there's still a lot of time left between now and the draft, and I reserve the right to change my opinion here, but right now, for me, the 1A and 1B are Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks. Trey Benson is, he just, for whatever reason, is my style, the type of running back that I'm drawn to typically in this process. Super explosive, really quick feet, really good balance, and can create the big play. So to me, he's the guy. I know that there's been some question marks about his production this last year. There's question marks about his vision. I think I get all that. But to me, when I'm watching him, I kind of see like a Kenneth Walker type player, probably a guy who, you know, he's not necessarily get from point A to point B and pick up the hard yards and like run through the right gaps, but like has the ability to create big plays out of structure and, you know, explosive down the field, make players miss. Like his broken tackle numbers and missed tackles force numbers are incredible. He's just a really explosive, fun player to watch. So I think I'm higher than maybe consensus on Benson, but I think Brooks is another guy who's kind of a complete package. I obviously, like you said, the torn ACL complicates the analysis, but you know, he's got good size, he's got good speed, he can catch the football. So I think Brooks is kind of quietly going to come in here and be, you know, like a really solid all around back. I think Blake Corum from Michigan is going to be an interesting one. Like there, you mentioned the Chargers. Like how surprising would it be if Blake Corum ended up with the Chargers and Harbaugh next year? I think that would be the type of situation where his stock would skyrocket as soon as he, you know, gets drafted by that team. Couple guys from the Senior Bowl that I was pretty impressed with. Marshawn Lloyd from USC, another guy who fits my, I think, like category of running back that I usually am drawn to, like a big time tackle breaker, you know, versatile, good balance, like can make guys miss in a phone booth type of player, good jump cut. And he is, he showed off some pass catching ability at the Senior Bowl, which I think has been a kind of a question mark. I want to say he had like only 13 catches or something like that last year. So it wasn't a huge part of his game, but I think he has it in his bag. And he was really impressive. I was actually pretty impressed with Notre Dame running back Audric Estime. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name right, but like I went back and I was watching a bunch of his tape, and he's just big, strong, fast, you know, kind of a no-nonsense runner, but he, to me, is the type of guy that NFL teams are probably going to like because he has a three-down skill set. So he's another guy to keep in mind. And then, oh, by the way, another guy from the Senior Bowl is Dylan Laube. I don't know how to say his last name either, but he, New Hampshire running back, kind of has shades of like an Austin Eckler type of player, really explosive, really quick feet, you know, really good pass catcher, which is like why he's probably going to be a good sleeper in fantasy, just because I think he had a game last year where he caught like 13 passes or something for like 200 yards. So he's obviously really good in the passing game. So he's another guy to keep in mind. There's a whole bunch of guys that just say to wrap it up here is there's a whole bunch of guys that are probably going to get picked on early day three that are going to play for teams. Oh, I didn't mention Ray Davis either. I like Kentucky running back Ray Davis. But there's a bunch of guys I think that are going to be like late day two, early day three, who are going to contribute. But like you mentioned, it's just going to be kind of like landing spot dependent.
Yeah, and it always is, especially for running back, right? Like that's probably the one that gets impacted the most because depending where guys go, they could step in and essentially produce right away. You normally with running backs don't have to wait too long. If they can get the playing time, they can start producing. So it'll be interesting to see where they end up. Now, unlike running back, receiver, very, very deep this year.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys who could be absolute stars in the NFL. Probably the best position in the draft class, in my opinion. And it starts with Marvin Harrison Jr. You mentioned him off the top. By all accounts, looks like he's just going to be a superstar right out of the gate. And we're not going to talk about tight ends very much today, but I will also mention right here, Brock Bowers, who you also brought up earlier, just another like top tier prospect at his position. Mm-hmm. Both these guys are probably going to have very, very long NFL careers, but I will throw it out to you this way. Which one of Harrison or Bowers do you think is more likely to be an elite player in the NFL? Who would you place your chip on if you had to?
That's tough. Probably Harrison. Just because, you know, he is truly like a complete package type player. He's got speed. He's got elite size. Really, really good body control. Really good hands in terms of his ability to like twist and contort. Pluck the ball from barely off the ground. Like his height and size ratio to flexibility is really good. He can go down. He can twist and turn. And, you know, he's got a little bit of elusiveness after the catch. So he's truly is like a total package when you, at the receiver position, and of course it helps that you have a Hall of Fame dad that's kind of been teaching you how to run routes and things since you're a little kid. So I would probably put my chip on Harrison just in terms of the overall athletic size, you know, production and bloodlines type of deals. He's got pretty much everything you want. That being said, like Brock Bowers is so fun to watch. Incredible athlete, incredible after catch. Really twitchy in the short area. Like he can change direction. He has incredible balance to catch the ball, pirouette, land, and keep running without barely, you know, breaking stride. He's just a really good athlete, really good player. I think with him, he's going to be, and this is sort of like what you see with like, you know, Kyle Pitts. Like if he lands with a team that's wanting to turn him into a normal tight end, I think that's going to be very disappointing and could slow down his development like significantly because he's not, you know, he can block and he puts in effort, but he's a little undersized for a traditional tight end spot. And if he gets with a team who is willing to use him as the movable chess piece in their offense, a guy, because like Georgia was using him on sweeps, they were using it on screenplays. You know, he's really, really strong after the catch. He's breaking tackles. He has explosive speed to run away from defenders. He's just kind of that type of player. But if he lands with the wrong team and a coach that like just wants him to play a normal tight end role, his development is going to be a little bit slower. So he's a little more, I think, just landing spot dependent than Harrison would be. I think Harrison can land pretty much anywhere and ball out, but Bowers needs to be in a system where a coach really wants to utilize his strengths, I think.
Yeah, and you don't want to feel burned by what's happened in recent years, but it's hard not to think about, you know, Kyle Pitts came in, had a good rookie season, of course, and then we haven't seen, you know, the great production from him since.
Yeah.
But you talk about whether it was TJ Hawkinson going high or David Njoku, like there's been a lot of these tight end prospects that when they were coming into the league looked like they were going to be superstars, and whether it was landing spot or learning curve or coaching or whatever, I think it's a lot harder for tight ends to produce. Like, you know, when we want to chase some of those deeper guys, I always bring it up. Like, if you can find a tight end that's going to be like the de facto number one or number two pass catcher in the offense, that's great. And sometimes they don't need to be quite as talented as some of these prospects coming out
100%.
If they can land in that right spot. So for Bowers, it's kind of going to be the same situation. Yeah, he's a guy that you're going to want to target, but we're going to have to wait to find out where he ends up before I really am going to let myself get too excited about him, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point in terms of just the tight end position in general is I do feel that it is very... number one, it depends a little bit on the quarterback. Like, does a quarterback like to pass to his tight end? You see this with Dak Prescott. He loves passing to his tight end. Like, every season, going back 5 years, he has one of the highest target rate to tight ends of any quarterback in the NFL. And it's just like, that's where he's comfortable. He's really comfortable passing over the middle field. He relies on those guys for dump off options. And that's why you see, you know, Dalton Schultz become a fantasy star with him. You see Jake Ferguson, even though I think Ferguson has talent, like he was a fourth round pick and nobody was talking about him, you know, prior to last year, essentially. And then he comes in and he looks like he's an ascending star at tight end. And like, he's a actually very valuable asset in dynasty. Because he's in this situation where the quarterback loves pass to tight ends and the offense loves to use tight ends in the passing game. You get a situation like, I mean, Pitts is the biggest example, but there's tons of situations across the league where I think you got a guy who's pretty talented, very athletic. Take the Seahawks for example. I think Noah Fant is a good player, but they rotate their court. They have three tight ends that play at all times. Like, this is just not a environment that you're going to get a lot of tight end production out of, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's so dependent on number one, the coach, number two, the quarterback, number three, the scheme. And then of course you have to have talent at tight end position. So I don't know. It is one of those things where I worry a little bit about where Bowers is going to land. I'm willing to bet on his talent, though. Like, I think he's incredibly, incredibly talented. There's no question in my mind that he's going to be a good NFL player. I just think, from a fantasy point of view, that is the worry. And I think you said it, like, perfectly. It's just, there's a lot of variables that kind of go into what makes a good, you know, fantasy tight end. Look at Trey McBride this year. Like, he didn't do anything as a rookie. And there was a lot of people that were giving up on him. I know I picked him up off waivers in one of my dynasty league, if you can believe that. I saw him on waivers. I spent my whole fab budget on him, and I was like super stoked. This was last year, and I was like, well, hopefully this will pay off because I think he's a really talented player. And then lo and behold, you know, he's splitting time with Zach Ertz, who can't find another team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he did end up signing very late in the season, but like, you know, this is a player who's well past his prime, and for whatever reason, the Cardinals are still platooning their tight ends. And this is a great example of like, sometimes just the situation and the environment is not great. And then as soon as Zach Ertz got hurt, boom, McBride is a superstar and he looks incredible. Like, he might be, in some people's minds, he might be the tight end one in dynasty, honestly. And so long story short, I know I'm kind of rambling, but I think landing spot and environment, offensive environment and quarterback environment are also sort of important for the tight end position.
And it's funny because I said, oh, we're not going to spend much time talking about tight ends today. We're not going to spend much time talking about the prospects, but yeah, we decided to have a whole separate conversation about tight ends. And I don't want to turn this into a dynasty show, but I will add one more thing because I love what you said there about McBride and being able to get him off waivers is kind of crazy. But
yeah,
after what we saw in that first year, you could get it in a more shallow dynasty league that even the metrics didn't look great for him, right? Not just producing that first year, but it didn't necessarily look like he was going to turn it around. And I always bring up the fact that I have dynasty leagues where I got George Kittle off of waivers that first year, because now we know what George Kittle is. But when he came out as a rookie, he wasn't that guy yet, right? Jake Ferguson, who you brought up, is somebody that I got off waivers in a couple dynasty leagues in the last couple years. David Njoku is maybe the exact example of the Trey McBride thing, where he was a great talent but wasn't producing, and someone gave up on him in one of the leagues that I was in. I picked him up, and all of a sudden, now he's become a great fantasy tight end. So, yeah, that's a spot where I think people could get some edges if you just try to load up. And that's why earlier in the week when we did the episode talking about guys that you should be looking to acquire, I mentioned a bunch of guys that I think this year fit that bill as some of these like backup tight ends or guys that might even have a chance to start next year because the guy in front of them is going to get cut, like, you know, Logan Thomas and Cole Turner and Washington, for example, right? There's some of those guys that are out there. I think Davis Allen is another one, and I think in one of our, not the International League, another dynasty league you and I play in, I think you got him ahead of me off of waivers. And we always joke about that on the show that you and I are competing for those
every single time. I think we have the exact same like methodology in terms of like prospect, you know, prospecting and the way that we run our fantasy team. So it's like every single time I'm going against you.
And I will say one more thing about the Harrison Bauer stuff is that I love early in the show when I asked you about the overview, you included Malik Nabers in that conversation with those three when you were talking about those top skill position guys this year. I wanted to include him in that last question, really, because I think he's going to get overshadowed a bit since Harrison is in this class and Harrison just looks so great. But when I was watching the film from those LSU games, they got a bunch of intriguing prospects, right? We talked about Daniels at quarterback, Nabers, another receiver in Brian Thomas, who I like a lot. But every time you watch LSU, Nabers is just jumping off the tape. He's dominating in those games. And I'm not sure that that gap between him and Harrison is actually that wide. I think Nabers looks great. So Do you think that Neighbors might deserve to be in that conversation for the number one receiver in this class? Or maybe it is just bad luck that he's out there with Harrison this year, and most years he would right. be the number one guy.
Yeah, I think most years he would be the number one guy. I mean, I think also it's hard because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has been the guy at receiver for a couple of years. It's like hard to, I think, knock a guy like that, especially with his name off the yep. top spot. You know, and I think it's almost like a little bit of the, you know, when Trevor Lawrence was coming out, like everyone's like, he's the number one guy, like for sure. And there's not really any discussion. I feel like there's a little bit of a similarity with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like he's just such a vaunted, revered prospect that it's probably going to be hard to get him off the top spot. But that being said, like Neighbors is extremely, extremely good. Like when I was watching him, he reminded me a lot of Ja'Marr Chase. I know that he's not quite as physical. He's not quite as strong and powerful as Ja'Marr Chase. Chase is a pretty unique player in a lot of ways. But in terms of just, you know, obviously you're taught to not try and scout the helmet and scout the uniform, but like they just are both incredibly, incredibly explosive, big time playmakers, play with an edge, play with like a lot of attitude and confidence and swag. And I think there's just a lot of similarities there in terms of their overall explosiveness. And so he like, if you're looking for an actual player comp, because I know I comped him to Ricky Bobby, he honestly did kind of remind me of Ja'Marr Chase, which I know is like really high praise and a really, really high bar. And I'm not saying he's Ja'Marr Chase, but just stylistically, the pure explosiveness, the pure big play potential, I think that's what kind of connects those two guys. And obviously the LSU uniform kind of helps too, but just that's the type of player he is. He's the type of guy who can take the top off a defense. He can take a quick slant and turn it into a 60-yard touchdown just because he's so much more explosive than almost anybody else on the field. So, you know, he's got to clean up a little bit in terms of his route running overall and just consistency at the catch point, I think. But, you know, he's a really high, high level receiver prospect. I think he deserves to be in the top tier. I personally won't put him over Harrison because I think Harrison is more polished. But at the end of the day, like, I want Neighbors on my team.
I guess we'll see, too, if the landing spots change anything.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people are mocking both guys to go in the top 10, maybe even the top 5 or 6. And I don't think there's a bad choice between them. And normally when there's that kind of situation for fantasy, I always say, like, I don't want to waste too much time talking about that because I totally. Just think you're going to be fine no matter which one of those guys you get on your team. I always say I want to spend more time, like, you know, deeper down. So in that vein, if we're looking at receiver, I said there's just a bunch of quality prospects and there's going to be some really good values, I think, when we're talking about these dynasty rookie drafts and like the second round of dynasty rookie drafts this year. I think there are going to be a bunch of guys in there who could be starters on your fantasy team. So I'm curious, is there a deeper wide receiver prospect? If we go a little further down, is there somebody who's caught your eye already? Somebody that you're going to be targeting in rookie drafts who I can snipe in our leagues before you get
like
them?
This is BS. I don't want to tell you this. No, but like, honestly, how much time do you have? Because there's probably like 5 or 6 guys I'm super excited about that are going to be in the second round. So probably going to be in the second round of dynasty draft. So the first guy that comes to mind, of course, for me is Ladd McConkey from Georgia. I think he is, you know, he's going to get comp to a lot of shifty white slot receivers. And that's fair because he is a shifty white slot receiver. But he when I watch him, he reminds me of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Just extremely sudden in his movements. Everything he does is full speed. Really, really quick after the catch. He can change direction on a dime and really leave cornerbacks in the dust. Like, these are the best athletes on the field in college football, cornerbacks are, and he leaves these guys in the dust sometimes with double moves or changing direction, whip routes, things like that. He's just really, really quick. He's just overall a very good player. So I'm very excited about Ladd McConkey. I don't think he has the size or, you know, maybe not the production to team is going to take him in the first round of the NFL draft. He might sneak into the first round, but he's more likely going to be a second round in real life and probably a second rounder in dynasty drafts, depending on where he lands. Of course, if he lands with like the Chiefs, he's going to get pushed up. But along the same lines, I think Roman Wilson from Michigan, obviously he's coming off the Senior Bowl, tons and tons of hype there. He was probably the best receiver at the Senior Bowl or one of them. And he's kind of in the same vein, honestly. He's a smaller, shifty, really, really explosive, really sudden in the short area type receiver whose stats are probably really, you know, brought down by the type of offense that he played in at Michigan. He probably could have gone for ludicrous stats if he was playing like a spread offense or something like that. but he looked really impressive to me. And then Ricky Pearsall from Florida was another guy that really impressed at the Senior Bowl. So I'm excited about him. He might not have the type of hype that those other two guys have, but he has good size. He's really tough at the catch point. Obviously, one of the most famous catches in college football this last year was Ricky Pearsall reaching up with his right hand, I believe, across his body and snagging the ball and just absolutely, like, it just stuck to his hand like a magnet, and then he took a massive hit, still hung on to it. I think that's a good sort of, intro to what type of player he is. Just a good route runner, makes tough catches, gets open, all that stuff. So I really like him. And then you start adding in guys like, A.D. Mitchell, to me, he's not like a lower guy. He has a chance to be in the first round, I think. Some people are not quite as high on him. And I think I saw Dane Brugler say when he's been sort of polling NFL scouts and things like that, they don't see him as a first rounder. So he might be a second round type player, but he to me is extremely, extremely interesting. The twitch that he moves with, he's got size, he gets open, he's tough, he can elevate and make tough catches. He can track the ball extremely well down the field. So there's a lot of things I really like about A.D. Mitchell. And then finally, I know that I'm talking about a lot of different guys, but Jalen Polk from Washington is one of my personal favorites. I just think he's in that McConkie category as just a really good football player. He's going to catch everything. He got really tough and physical at the catch point. He shields guys with his body. He catches the ball with his hands. He's a good route runner. He just doesn't have that extra gear as a, he's not a high-end speed guy, so I think that's going to have him drop a little bit. But I think whoever gets him is going to get a really good football player. And I could see him being really productive just because of the way that he plays. So from a fantasy point of view, I'm excited about what he can do. So those are a bunch of guys. But there's probably like 10 or 15 receivers in this class that I haven't even mentioned yet that I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's why I think often people look at like second and third round rookie picks, and maybe I know I do often just kind of toss them in deals or, use mm-hmm. them to try to make a push for a title.
Sweetener.
But I think, this year you're going to want to hold on to those. And, second round, maybe early third round. I don't know how far we want to go with it, because definitely, when you get to late third round into the fourth round. But this year there's probably going to be some guys in that range that are going to end up producing. I'm really excited about this draft. I think it's fantastic that you were able to come on and kind of give us this look ahead. I always tell our listeners, write these names down. It's going to help you throughout the off season. When we have the combine come around, you're going to know these guys already. So it's really good stuff, and I'm going to call it there. So that is all for today's show. Make sure you check out that Ringer draft guide that Danny does. Give him a follow on Twitter again at Danny B. Kelly. And man, I always appreciate you answering the call. I always appreciate you jumping on with us. And, I look forward to taking the final step in my rebuild in that International Dynasty League, because that first year I thought I had it, and then it fell apart right before the playoffs with injuries. And now the last two seasons here, I did the rebuild last year. It's going well. And now I ended up with the first overall pick that I'd actually, I didn't finish last. I traded and ended up getting the first overall pick the way things worked out. So I'm coming for you in that International League. So
all right. I'll be ready.
Keep an eye over your shoulder there when my time's coming.
Love it.
All right. Good stuff. As for me, I posted the updated Dynasty Trade Value Charts and my updated rookie rankings yesterday. So you can see how I'm valuing players there. The updated redraft rankings, they went up late last week. And now we're headed into that quieter time in the fantasy calendar. We got Super Bowl coming up, and then that's it. So I'll be off for a couple of weeks, but then we'll be back in March. A lot of free agency content, more draft preview stuff. But until then, big thanks again to Danny. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening and supporting the show. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said leave on time.